This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
In the past couple of weeks, we've been exploring Galatians chapter 5 from verse 25 that says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." What does that mean and how do we apply that? Grace and faith leads to repentance and salvation. And we are born again and we become a new creation in Christ and we receive the Holy Spirit and we have life because of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Word of God encourages us that those who live by the Spirit should also, the New King James says, walk with the Spirit. And the ESV says, keep in step with the Spirit. So what does this mean to keep in step with the Holy Spirit? You know, the amazing thing is, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit keeps on moving. Salvation is not a static event that took place 20 years ago. It is something that continuously grows in my relationship with God, because salvation is about a relationship with God, not just an event. And so the Holy Spirit that gives us life continues with its purpose on the earth. It was sent with a purpose, just like Jesus was sent with a purpose. And so it continues, and the Word of God encourages us not just to have life because of the Spirit, but to also keep in step with the Spirit. God has a plan for humanity. That was the purpose of sending His Son, and it was not just to set us free from our sin and our guilt. God has a plan. He has a purpose. When God called Moses to speak to Pharaoh to let his people go, it was not just to worship on the mountain. It was to go on and to possess the promised land. God has a purpose beyond my own salvation. And so church is not just a gathering for those who are saved. It has purpose beyond us being here today. And Jesus speaks of that in Matthew 16. He says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Again, church is meant to be on the move. And one thing that I've discovered over the 30 years of being saved is that salvation is not just about me. I had many preachers say that Jesus came to save me. And yes, I was saved also. But the kingdom is not about me. It's about the King. And I have the privilege to be part of that kingdom. God has a purpose, and that purpose is greater than me. And I have the privilege to be part of that greater purpose. It's very interesting in Greek, this word "keep in step with" literally means to march in military rank. I have a little video clip for you that might help us to understand what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. It literally means not just to walk with Him. The ESV is more accurate, is to keep in rank in military formation. As the Spirit is moving, we are meant to keep in step with Him. We're not just meant to live because of Him. We're meant to keep in step. This is what it means to keep in step. This is the Greek word used. You know, there's something about marching. It is a symbol of discipline, teamwork, unity, loyalty. And the glory of that unit is not the individual, but unity in purpose together. My purpose is insignificant in comparison to His purpose. God has a purpose for humanity. He sent His Son with a purpose. He poured out His Spirit with a purpose. And that purpose does not end in my salvation, because He didn't come to die just for me. No, He has a purpose, a greater purpose. And I only have eternal purpose in Him. I have purpose and significance in His purpose. Of all the billions of people that walk the face of the earth, before me, and even now, what makes me significant? What gives me significance? What makes me significant? The only thing is the fact that I am saved by grace through faith. I'm born again and I'm in Christ. That makes me significant. But nothing else. I'm just another man of billions that's gone before me and probably will come after me. My significance and my purpose is only found in Christ. That's what makes me significant. That's what gives me purpose. I am now a child of God. I am loved by God, and I'm invited into His purpose. I've been given the keys of authority, and I've been sealed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That makes me significant. Far more than any preaching I can do or acts of miracles or anything else I can do, that does not make me significant. What makes me significant is that I am born again by grace through faith and I'm in Christ. I'm a child of God, loved by Him, sealed by His Spirit. Which glory I cannot claim, it was His purpose and not mine. And so we can go throughout the Bible, we can look at Moses. What made Moses significant? We still speak of this man 4,000 years later. Many sermons, probably more famous than most men will ever be. What made Moses significant? Not the fact that he grew up in Pharaoh's house, not the fact that he was a prince of Egypt. No, Moses is probably more well known than all the Pharaohs put together. And we still speak of this man. What made him significant? What made him significant is he was part of God's purpose, not his own, but God's purpose. And so we can say of Joshua, Gideon, Peter, Paul, great men of fame and significance, all part of God's purpose. You and my significance is found in the same purpose, God's purpose. And so, by the way, you are not too old for God's purpose. Remember Abram? He thought he was too old. Moses was called to go back to Egypt when he was 80 years old. Joshua led the armies of God into the promised land when he was 80 years old. No, you are not too old for God's purposes. And neither are you too young. God called Mary as a teenage girl, and most of the disciples were probably teenagers. No, they all had this in common. Faith. Not any kind of faith. A faith that led to obedience and action. Abram left his home and country. Moses went back to Egypt. Peter left his nets and followed Jesus. And so the list continues. Here's the point. God calls each of us to be part of His plan. The choice is ours. John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Our purpose is found not in ourselves. Our purpose is found in the One who sends us. That gives us purpose. It gives us purpose for living. It gives us purpose for doing. Because I'm not just a child of God. I am sent by God. And this whole concept of being sent means you are sent with purpose. And so the Great Commission is so powerful when Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. To the very end of the age, I am with you always." And then He said, "But before you do anything, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, He will empower you for what you have been sent. And he will empower you to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave now in us. And it has a purpose. What does it mean to keep in step with? It means we align ourselves with his purpose. And so we all have the Holy Spirit in us. And he has purpose, so let us keep in step with him. Matthew 5 verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand." It has purpose. You cannot hide it. The purpose for lighting you up with my Spirit is so that you can give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our purpose is to know God and to make him known. You know, in the modern church, we put so much emphasis on my calling, my purpose, my destiny. In the world, it used to be I, myself, and me. And now we have spiritualized it to make it my calling, my purpose, my destiny. And it's again just about me. It's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with Jesus. It's everything to do with the King and his purpose. And it's in following him that I find my purpose. Don't worry about searching for your life's purpose. It's right there in front of you. It's Jesus the King. Serve him. He will send you. He will direct you. And in doing so, you will fulfill your purpose. It's simple. It's not so complicated. It's not so complicated. Our purpose is to know him. There's nothing greater than to discover who he is. There's nothing more important. The most important thing about you is what you know and believe about God. The most important thing about you is what you know and believe about God. That makes you significant because you know the living God. And then we are called sent to make him known in the midst of the darkness, through the way we live and through sharing the gospel. And you know what? When we are marching together, when we are marching together as church with that one purpose, that unity of purpose and focus and discipline for one thing in mind, to see the kingdom come, it's when hell runs for its life. It is when the gates of hell will not stand. It's when the church together with one focus, one purpose, together going for it. That's when the church advances. And so where do we start? We need to know that God loves us. The word is full of that, and we have many sermons. And secondly, we need to know that God has purpose for us, but that purpose is not about me, it's about him and his purpose. And thirdly, that God has empowered us, and we must simply follow him. And then fourthly, we need to believe in the gospel. We need to believe in a gospel like Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." And then fifthly, we need to understand it's not about me. It is about him. And then most importantly, that he is with us. God is with us. "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, when God called Moses, Moses gave him the 110 reasons why he couldn't do what God called him to do. And we all are afraid. We all have our excuses why we cannot do what we are meant to do, what God called us to do. And so Moses, in his discussion with God at the burning bush, when God called him to go back to Egypt, to the Pharaoh, to bring his people out, Moses gave God the 101 reasons. As a matter of fact, he gave him three reasons. Three very good reasons. We all have valid excuses and reasons why we can't, because we are afraid and insecure. But let me give you Moses' reasons. He said, first of all, they will not believe me. If I share your word, if I share your command, they will not believe me. The second thing that he said is, I cannot speak. I'm not qualified. I don't have the ability. And then thirdly, Moses said, please God, send someone else. Send someone else. You know what's God's response? We read in Exodus chapter 4. It said, Moses, what's in your hand, Moses? I've listened to all your excuses. Just tell me what's in your hand, Moses. Don't tell me what you can't do, Moses. Tell me what you can do. So what do you have, Moses? Moses said, well, Lord, I've got a stick, a staff. That's what I've got. That's so powerful, that staff in Moses' life. It represented his identity. It represented his career, his security, his income. This is who I am, God. I'm a shepherd. That's it. You know what God said? He said, Moses, I need to take that stick and throw it on the ground. You know what happened? It turned into a snake. It turned into something else. Moses, who are you? What's in your hand, Moses? No, I'm a shepherd, gone. Well, why didn't you give it to me? And so amazingly, when Moses let go of his identity, his purpose, his security, and he surrendered it to God, God did something supernatural with that stick. And he turned it into a serpent. And Moses was afraid. And then God taught him a lesson. He said, Moses, I want you to pick it up again. And so Moses picked up the serpent and it turned back into a staff. God was teaching Moses something powerful. He said, Moses, what's in your hand? If you're willing to let go of it and surrender it to me, I will use it. But when you take control of it, it's only a staff. That's all it is. If you are willing to let go, I will use it. But if you keep it, it's just a stick, Moses. So powerful lesson Moses had to learn. If you surrender it, give it to me, it will become something else, something that I will use. My question this morning is, what is in your hand? Yes, we all have our fears and insecurities and valid reasons. But God has called us all and has already empowered us with His Spirit. And He's simply asking us, what is in your hand? Are you willing? If you keep holding on to it, it's just a staff, just a plumber and a counter, a winemaker, a mother. But if you surrender it to God, He will use it, no matter what it is. You know, I know of winemakers and mothers, teachers and builders in this church that get more people saved than I do. It's the way it's meant to be. Yeah, it excites me when this happens. Starting to see how people are throwing down staffs and God turns it into something powerful. That's when the church starts to move. When the saints are equipped to do the work of the ministry, that is when the church is advancing. In Acts 8, so powerful, we read, At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. The church was in Jerusalem. That's it. But then a great persecution started. And they all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You know where the apostles were? They were back at church in Jerusalem. But the church left the building because of the persecution. And they went all over. And in verse 4 we read, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, and the church grew. You see, it's when the saints start doing the work of the ministry. It's when the saints, the members, start preaching everywhere that the church advances. When Moses surrendered what was in his control, and when the church surrendered what was in their control, when Moses gave God his staff, something powerful happened. And from that day on, nowhere in Scripture was that staff called Moses' staff. It was called the rod of God, the staff of God. Something powerful happened when he surrendered his staff to God. It was never again called Moses' staff. It was called God's staff. What is in your hand? Are you willing to surrender it to God? We read here in Exodus 4 verse 20, so Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. All the miracles that God did was through that staff. It's with that staff that Moses hit the water and it turned into blood. It was that staff that he raised his hand over the land and the winds came from all the different parts and brought the locusts. It's with that staff that he lifted up into the air and God sent hail and fire. It's with that staff that he hit the Red Sea and it parted open. With that staff that he hit the rock and water came open. It's with that staff that they lifted up against the wall of the Philistines and the elders held up his arms and it gave them the victory. You see, it's when we let go of control and surrender that what we have to God, that God can use it powerfully for his purpose. And so the question this morning is, what is in your hand? Yes, we all have fears and insecurities. And God is saying, trust me. Give me what you have. And yes, maybe what you have is insignificant in your own eyes, like that little boy with the two fish and the five loaves. It wasn't even enough to feed a grown-up man, but there was 5,000 and more to be fed. And so Jesus, when the little boy came, he asked him, so what do you have? What's so amazing for me, I said it so often, is that God didn't take one fish and one loaf. He could have done it with one of each, but he took it all. He says, my boy, I'll have all of it, thank you. It's not enough, but I'll take it all. And God did something amazing because one little child was willing to give up control of the little that he had. God has already called you and me, and he's already empowered us with his Spirit. And he has already sent us. The question is, are you willing to let go? What is in your hand? For many, this is the first step today. You know God loves you. You know God has poured out his Spirit upon you. And you heard enough about being sent. But like Moses, oh God, I cannot speak. Who will believe me? Please, Lord, send someone else. Are you willing to let go of your stick, throw it on the ground, and say, God, you can have it all? I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion for us. And while the ushers do that, will you consider what is in your hand? Will you consider trusting God? Will you consider believing Him when He says, I have called you to go and be a light in the midst of the darkness, not to be hidden under a basket, but to be on a lampstand so that everyone may see the light that is in you. That light is not me, it's not you, it is God in you. The Spirit of God will give you the ability and the power to be the witness God has called each and every one of us to be. Let's just close our eyes. Let us consider these things. And let us consider our response as we wait for one another. Moses did not know how God was going to use his staff. God didn't tell him. He didn't tell him about the rivers and the hail and the seas and the walls. He didn't tell him. He just said, Moses, give me what's in your hand. It was almost 50 years ago when I gave my life to God. I was 16, depressed, and wanting to kill myself. I wasn't much to give. I didn't know what it meant either. I just said, God, you can have it. You can have it all. It's been the greatest adventure of my life. Oh, and when I see the winemakers and the mothers and the plumbers, oh, they do the same. It's when the power of God manifests, when people's lives are changed. When ordinary people start to surrender their lives and everything they have and ask God into it. Say, God, here I am. This is my career, my security, my identity. Lord, I pray that it may be yours. I give it to you. Use me, God. Use my stick, my staff, my hands, my brains, Lord. Whatever it is, God. My love, my availability, Lord. Whatever it is that I have, Lord, I want to surrender it to you, God. I thank you for this privilege. And you will be amazed how God will teach you. He will show you as you go back to your life in the midst of this world, what to do with that staff. When to raise it, when to hit it, when to throw it on the ground. If we will only be willing. Let's consider that for a moment as we pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us into this great purpose. Not just our own lives, but the lives of millions around us. Not just the light in our hearts, but the light in this world, in this town, in our families, in our careers. Lord, you have called us as ambassadors, sent by the Almighty God in His name, given the keys of the kingdom, the power of God that raised Christ from the grave is within us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will surrender everywhere and share of this great love. Lord, I pray that you will teach us as plumbers, as winemakers, as accountants. Lord, I pray that you will teach us to be witnesses. Lord, make us sensitive to your spirit that we'll not just have life because of you, but be in step with you. You are going somewhere. God, we want to be with you when you get there. Oh Lord, I pray for each and every heart here today that we will consider our calling and our purpose that is so clear. Oh Lord, I pray that we will surrender our lives to that so that we may share in your glory. If you are here this morning, and God has been speaking to you about your fears and insecurity, your reasons why you are hesitant, and you want to make a decision to surrender your stick, your staff, your career, your influence, just say, God, I want to give you my 2 fish and 5 loaves. It's not enough. But God, I want to surrender it to you. I want to put it under your control. You speak to me concerning how, when, and where. If that is you this morning, as all the eyes are closed, I just want you to respond to God. Just say, God, here I am. If you're ready to do that, just raise your hand. Raise your staffs. Raise your careers, your opportunities. And allow God to come and teach you, show you, make Him change it into what He desires it to be, not what we think best of it. Lord, I thank you for all these hands that are raising, Lord, these hearts that are responding to you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that it is a great adventure to be working with you. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we surrender our control of what we think our lives should be, and surrender it to you, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us every day, step by step, what it means to keep in step with you. God, I pray that you will use each and every person here mightily, Lord, that you will open up doors and opportunities, Lord, for the gospel through our love and our words to be clearly seen and heard, that you may receive all the glory. God, I pray for this great adventure of twists and turns, unexpected miracles and opportunities as you make our ordinary lives extraordinary. Lord, I thank you for significance in eternity from this place. Lord, I pray for a boldness and an expectation that we will leave this place knowing that we belong to you and your purpose. Oh Lord, I pray for a blessing in it. And God, that we are reminded of this privilege, but also the cost. This great privilege we have to serve with you in your purpose. God, let us not forget the price you paid for us. May it be our inspiration and our response to serving you with our lives as you lay down yours for us as we eat together in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us so that we may have life, purpose, hope, and eternity. Oh Lord, I pray as we drink this cup, we drink it in your life, your death, but its purpose was not in vain. It was not the end, but the beginning. So that we may be with you forever in your purpose, in your kingdom. God, I pray, Lord, that as we drink of this cup, we drink of that purpose. Not just what you've done, but what you've done for us. So that we may continue in your purpose until we see your return and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over much. We thank you for this as we drink together in Jesus' name. If you are here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to God, a God who loves you, who gave his life for you so to give you a future, a hope, and purpose, If that is you this morning and you want to surrender your life, I want to give you an opportunity as well by just raising your hand. While all the eyes are closed, let's just pray. There are people here today that needs to make a decision to follow Jesus with everything. And if that is you today, this is your day. This is the best day. You might not have tomorrow. You have it today. If that is you, just raise your hand. Say, God, here I am. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? I want us all to pray together with these precious people. And I want us to pray with me. And it's a simple prayer. I'm just going to pray and I'm going to thank God for His love. I'm going to confess that I'm a sinner and I need His salvation. And I thank Him for what He has done for me on the cross. But from this day, I give Him my life. In response of Him giving mine, I'm going to give Him my life. And I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. He becomes my King and I'm His servant. And I'm grateful for this privilege to be called His child in His house. And then I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, I am a sinner. I need your salvation. I need your salvation and your forgiveness. But I thank you that I have it in Christ Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. For giving your life so that I may have life. God, today I choose to give you my life. In response of yours, I thank you for forgiving me. And that I can be your child. I commit myself to make you king and follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have not been baptized, get yourself baptized. It's the outer call of the New Testament of the early church. It seals it in a powerful way. Where you confess what Christ has done and that your old man has crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that you can be alive in Christ Jesus. We're having a baptism today. If you come as you are, I will go in as I am. Like the Ethiopian said to Philip, "What hinders me?" And he said, "If you believe, nothing." Don't let anything hinder you. Come today. I want to invite everybody to join us. We're going to be there at 11:30 at the Old Harbor. So have a coffee. Bring your children. Don't forget them. And let's all come down to the Old Harbor. May God bless you. Remember the 2-minute rule. Fellowship with two people you don't know. And then with those you do. May God bless you. Trust to see you next week. And be expectant what happens to your staff when you throw it on the ground, when you surrender it to God. Amen. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.